Priest Forum does have a fasting and prayer police department, so we will be coming to make sure you're... Saints, all joking aside, it's my pleasure and my joy to be here. Brother Clarence prayed that we might be unified and together in our worship and our labors for the kingdom. And that's what this is all about, and I consider it a great joy to be here, and it warms my heart to be here in the midst of fellow saints. I am absolutely convinced that this branch is just an extension of our branch where I worship. And so this is a wonderful experience for me this morning. I want to read a scripture. If you have your scriptures with you, you can turn to section 98 of the Doctrine and Covenants. And I read this scripture because this was placed upon my heart several months ago. And I wrote a little one-page article, and we put it in our branch newsletter. I think it was actually published in the last issue of the Beacon magazine. I wrote it because I felt there was a need to center our thoughts on worship, but I think it goes hand in glove with what we want to talk about this morning. Section 98, verse 5a says, "Behold, it is my will that all they who call on my name and worship me according to my everlasting gospel should gather together and stand in holy places and prepare for the revelation which is to come, when the veil of the covering of my temple in my tabernacle, which hideth the earth, shall be taken off, and all flesh shall see me together." And I believe... Yes, sir?
Excuse, can I interrupt you?
You may.
Who doesn't have a copy? I'll start over here. Sorry, sir.
That's no problem. I believe that this scripture is specifically applicable to the saints today. That as we draw together in worship and prayer and unity and humility and prayer and fasting, we're called to stand before the presence of the Lord and be prepared to receive the revelation that He is going to provide for His people when the veil that covers the earth, that separates heaven and earth, is rent. And saints, my witness to you today is that that day is not afar off. So I believe we are called to prepare ourselves for the endowment of His Holy Spirit that has never before been seen upon the earth. That applies to those who hold the office of member as well as those who will hold priesthood offices. There's no delineation between priesthood and non-priesthood in being called to be prepared to receive the revelation of God. Yes, priesthood offices, priesthood men have specific callings, but all of us are called to bear witness of Jesus and be ready to receive what He has to offer. How many of you are not familiar with the document that's being passed out? Is anyone who has not heard this? Okay. Let me share you a little bit what's going on here. I'm going to give you some background, some backstory, and then we'll talk about this document that's been released here. For those of you who were at the April conference, I preached the opening communion sermon. About 3 years ago, in fact, it was 3 years ago, beginning in April of 2008, I had a kind of a journey where I began to understand the Lord's revelation in my life personally, for my ministry, and I believe for the church. I knew then that I was called to an additional service in the Lord's work. I didn't know exactly what that was, although in my back of my mind, I knew what that was. But really what it was, it began a journey to come to the point where we are today. In the course of that summer of 2008, I began to have a series of experiences on Sunday mornings when I sat in our branch, whether it was in our early morning worship, our Sunday school class, or our regular preaching services, where I had kind of parallel experiences. One was about a young man who was not yet a member of the church, but I began to have the evidence of his call to an Aaronic priesthood office. Parallel to that, I began to have witness about my own priesthood call to the office of high priest. And as those experiences unfolded, I also began to have a scripture placed upon my heart, which is from 2 Chronicles. We're all familiar with that scripture. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land," paraphrase pretty close, but that's what it says there. And I understood that I was to preach that to a larger setting than my own branch, and I interpreted that to be probably the conference, and that occurred in April. When that scripture, and this occurred for several weeks, and by the way, that young man who was not yet baptized, when he was baptized and confirmed, Brother Patrick McKay, I had that experience over and over, and I began to pray, Lord, if this is truly you speaking to me, then I'm asking you to provide a witness that comes, this is an undeniable witness that's outside myself. The morning that he was baptized and confirmed, Brother Patrick McKay was the spokesman in his confirmation. And as he prepared to end that prayer of confirmation, he uttered words something along these lines, prepare yourself, for you will soon be called to further service in my work. Well, that was a witness to me that what I had experienced was true. And I spoke with Patrick after that, and he said he just felt compelled to utter those words, and he knew that he had a call to the office of Aaronic priest. And I had the pleasure of ordaining young Shane to the office of priest a few months later. Well, that confirmed to me that the experiences that I had were valid, not only about Shane, but about my own ministry and about that scripture from 2 Chronicles. So as I had that witness about that scripture, about repenting and coming before the Lord and seeking his face, in my own understanding, I understood that to be some type of a corporate experience. It wasn't just, brother, you need to repent and I'm going to repent and we're going to do that individually. In my mind's eye, I understood that to be an event or a corporate setting. But I didn't know how that was going to come about. Okay, fast forward now, April, I preached the conference, the sermon at the conference. The high priests ordained, the quorum of high priests is organized. I was elected to be the president of the quorum, and we understood very clearly that the burden to provide spiritual direction rested upon all of the priesthood, but upon the high priest in particular. We sensed that burden very keenly. And when I attended that April conference, as soon as I was ordained, that very evening, I had three or four people come up to me and say, Brother Chuck, we are asking the high priests, we are looking to the high priests to provide the spiritual direction that we've lacked for so long. And in each one of those cases, they urged us to remain humble. We do not take that counsel lightly. So as we began to organize ourselves as a quorum of high priests, as we began to meet together, we sensed very keenly that the saints are indeed looking to us, that there is a special burden placed upon the high priest. And I will tell you this, that when I prayed about my call to the office of high priest and I wrote a little letter of acceptance to Dean and Roger, Dean Falconer and Roger Galt, I was made aware that my calling to the office of high priest had very little to do with me, but it had to do with the office. It's essential that the office of high priest was restored to the earth, because without the high priesthood, the saints cannot enter into the kingdom. The Aaronic ministry is called to, the seven-year call to go out and reap down the nations and bring people into the church, and the elders also, to be witnesses and missionaries and bring saints to the church. The Aaronic priesthood are to provide that preparatory gospel ministry to instruct the saints on how to become members of the Lord's church. The eldership is to provide that shepherding in the local branches. But the high priesthood is intended to bring saints before the Heavenly Father and prepare them to receive that witness, that testimony, that revelation that we read from section 98. So, with that background, the last week of June, this was the week before the reunion at Graceland, so it was probably like the 20th of June, I received this email from Carrie Lancaster. He's a newly ordained high priest. And you can find it, I don't know what your format is there, but it says words of counsel, an introduction, there's a paragraph there, and it begins words of counsel given to the high priest, quorum July 1, 2011. I received that email from Kerry. He had sent essentially the same email to just a small handful of people. And Kerry's testimony was that he had received evidence that he, that the Lord had counsel for the saints. And if you read on my, in my papers, it's the second page, his witness to me was that he sat down to write me this email, and he began to put down the thoughts that were in his mind that he believes were thoughts that had been placed there by the Lord's Spirit. And about halfway through, he said, his testimony to me was, it's not included in this, but his paragraphs to me were that as I began to write this, then the Spirit took over. And that's pretty much what you find on page 2, where it says, sanctify a fast before me. Carrie's testimony was that the Lord is calling all of the Lord's people, not just the narrow band, and I don't mean narrow and narrow-minded, but the small, limited scope of the Joint Conference, or the Saints Haven, or the Zarahemla Branch, or the Independence District. But all those who profess to be believers in the great Latter-day work that came forth in 1830, and particular those who are affiliated with the 1860 reorganization and how that has now trickled down into the many different groups. The Lord is calling all of his believers to sanctify a fast, come together, repent, reconcile, and seek the Lord's divine will. As I read Carrie's email, the Spirit of Truth flooded me, because I found contained in these words of counsel things that are near and dear to my heart, and things that I believe have been placed upon my heart by the Holy Spirit. And a few of those things are this. First of all, we need to repent. I can't speak for you, saints. I can speak for myself. I need to repent, because I have not fulfilled the divine calling that is mine to bring to pass the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. Regardless of what we want to say, Zion yet remains unfulfilled. And that's a condemnation against the church, because the Lord has told us, you've already got all that you need to build a kingdom, and yet the kingdom is not built. We know in the Doctrine and Covenants that Zionic conditions are no closer nor further away than the spiritual condition of my people justifies. Well, that means the spiritual condition of you and me. So, the call to repentance, that goes right back to what I believe the Lord placed upon my heart 3 years ago. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and repent and turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal their land and forgive them. The second thing that I think is very important in this document that Carrie brought is the call to reconciliation. It has been made very clear to me over the course of the past few years that if Jonah and I cannot sit at the Lord's table together, shame on us. Shame on us. If there is a baptized member of the church who has had hands laid upon his or her head by one having authority, and he or she and I cannot worship together side by side, putting whatever organizational differences we have aside, sit down together and worship in prayer and praise and song and prayer and fasting, shame on us. And the condemnation of the Lord is very clear. If ye are not one, what does it say? Ye are not mine. Brother Alan Smith preached at the General Conference in April very clearly that we need to be reconciled one with another. He was flooded with the Holy Spirit, and I was as he preached. Brother Dan Shearer preached the week before I preached the summer series. His witness was clear. And if you weren't there, you missed something. And I bear witness that the Holy Spirit was covering Brother Dan in his office and calling as an elder to call the saints to be one. This is of the Lord, because he calls us to be one. And then the other key point that I believe is very clear is that we have been called to uphold the sons of Joseph. My witness is, my testimony to you is, that as long as Wallace B. Smith draws breath, there is none other appointed to bear the mantle of the prophet, the role of prophet, president, and seer, and revelator for the church. Now, many saints have different perspectives about Brother Wallace, whether or not he has abandon his responsibility, whether he is a fallen prophet, whether he is in apostasy, whether he himself spearheaded what's happened to the church. Everyone has their own perspective. This is my perspective. I was present when he was ordained to the office of prophet. I was in, what year was that? 1980 or 78?
78.
I was an 18-year-old graduate, high school graduate. My father and I came down as delegates for the conference. And I went through the receiving line after he was ordained. And I can see it in my mind today, standing on the side of the rostrum down below and shaking his hand. And I said, Brother Wallace, please do not forget those of us who have a more traditional perspective of the gospel. And I believe the Lord let me know that he was a reluctant prophet. He had this thrust upon him. He would have been happy spending the rest of his life being a eye doctor, whatever his you know, he was an ophthalmologist or whatever they call that. Okay. But as is all often the case, when the Lord selects men to be his prophets, that responsibility is thrust upon them. And he was reluctant. And I believe that he was overpowered by wicked men in high places, and so now we find ourselves in this terrible situation. Our responsibility, saints, is to uphold him. And I bear testimony that his work in this great latter-day kingdom is not done. And if he does nothing else but to come forward and name a true successor, that's his responsibility. So, to me, the things that Brother Carey brought in his document have the words of truth, and the Spirit bore witness to me. I sent this to my counselors, we had some discussion about it, and we brought it before the High Priest Quorum on July 1st. We already had a meeting scheduled on the Friday at the Lamoni reunion. We already had several of the men there, and then I think five or six of the High Priest drove up. So we had a nice most of the day session. At the end, towards the end or the last half of our quorum meeting, we discussed this document. There were different perspectives about the extent of the inspiration. You know, if you put on a continuum about any spiritual manifestation, you can say this was the direct word of God, or you can say this is the complete work of man, or somewhere in between. And we've seen in some of the revelations, I can pull out some revelations in Doctrine and Covenants and say this is the Lord himself bearing these words coming from the bosom of the Father. And I can also flip through some revelations and say this is inspiration. And I can also flip through some revelations and say this is the Lord's servant giving his counsel as the Spirit has moved upon him. So the question is this the direct word of the Lord? Is this the word of Carey? Or is this somewhere in between? And the general consensus was that this was inspired counsel, some of which I believe is very heavily inspired, and some I believe is inspired in the mind of a man. But I believe that without question, the Lord wrought upon Brother Carey's heart and asked him to present these words to us. So the High Priest Quorum then determined that we would present this. I appointed three men, Alan Smith, Carey Lancaster, and Brad Gall. I said, take the words that have been given to us and provide us with a plan that we can implement. And that is the cover letter that you got from Brother Brad. He's the secretary of the quorum. And then the schedule, the outline, and then the questions that are answered there. Brother Rudy Leitzinger, as the district president, has taken those, he's essentially taken the scriptures that were presented and offered. Do you have that? Okay, we've got copies made there. That he has it sent. Michelle needs a copy.
We'll pass them out later when everybody's
here. Got it. So Rudy has put together, essentially taken that whole list of scriptures that was offered by the three men, broken it down to, looks like one, maybe two scriptures a day, and he's added a few more just to fill out the 40 days. And so I read my scripture this morning before I got out of bed, and it basically asks us to, and I'll read that. Let's read that real quick. It's section 59, verses 2 and 3 of the Doctrine and Covenants, and I think it's a good place to start. Section 59, verses 2 and 3. Wherefore I give unto them a commandment saying thus, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy might, mind, and strength, and in the name of Jesus Christ shalt thou serve him. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, these two scriptures automatically say, put me first, I'm God, put me first, and then love one another. What is the counsel given to us? To come before the Lord in humility, repentance, and reconciliation. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not neither commit adultery, nor kill, nor do anything like unto it. Thou shalt thank the Lord thy God in all things. Part of our call to fasting is to give honor and praise and thanksgiving. Thou shalt offer a sacrifice of the Lord unto the Lord thy God in righteousness, even that of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. What is he asking us to do? Humble ourselves and repent and seek his will. Why are we doing this? That thou mayest more fully keep thyself unspotted from the world, that thou shalt go to the house of prayer and offer up thy sacraments upon my holy day. For verily this is a day appointed unto thee to rest from thy labors and to pay thy devotions unto the Most High. Nevertheless, thy vows shall be offered up in righteousness on all days and at all times. But remember that on this, the Lord's day, thou shalt offer thine oblations and thy sacraments unto the Most High, confessing thy sins unto thy brethren and before the Lord. And on this day shalt thou do none other thing, only let thy food be prepared with singleness of heart, that thy fasting may be perfect, or in other words, that thy joy may be full. Verily, this is fasting and prayer, or in other words, rejoicing and prayer. So what a wonderful scripture to start this day. This 40-day period of fasting and prayer starts today. And as you can see in the schedule that the high priests have offered, we want to spend the first 10 days primarily focusing our fasting and prayer on thanksgiving and praise. You know, the Jews have a prayer that says, if you had only brought us out of Egypt and you did nothing else, it would have been enough. If all you had done was deliver us from the hand of Pharaoh at the water's edge of the Red Sea, it would have been enough. And then it goes on and lists all of the things that the Lord did through many, many years. If that's all the Lord had done, it would have been enough. Well, we can say, on top of all those things, if the only thing the Lord had done was to send his son to die for us, could we ever give him enough thanks and praise and honor and blessing? So the recommendation is that we spend these first 10 days focusing our prayers, focusing our fasting, focusing our inward thoughts on giving honor and praise and thanksgiving to our Lord for what he's done for us and what he will yet do. Then the second period is a 20-day period of asking for forgiveness and repentance. Now, what's the first requirement for us to go before the Lord asking his forgiveness?
We have to forgive others.
Reconciliation, asking the Lord or asking others to forgive us. So if I have offended Jonah or Peggy or anyone, or if they have offended me, what is my duty, saints? Is to leave my gift before the altar and go and find those that I have offended or have offended me and reconcile. Do you have anyone you need to reconcile with? Does the body of Christ have anyone we need to reconcile with? Let me ask you a question. Is there division among the body of Christ? I see smiles. We ought to be weeping tears because the body of Christ is injured. So we've got a lot of work to do. And I want to bear testimony that as this email sent forth, we kind of sent it out as an email blast. You know, if you know Joy Muir, then she sent it out to 500 people. And Garland Schnack sent it out. Now, do you know the story about Garland's email? Did many of you get Garland's email? Garland sends emails to hundreds of people, as does Joy. Now, Garland attends the South Crystal Restoration Branch. And if you don't know, they're not very supportive of the joint conference. And when Garland got this email, he immediately deleted it and said, don't want anything to do with it, because it said, Quorum of High Priests, Joint Conference of Restoration Branches. Well, I guess I got to give you another backstory. Dan, what's our time frame?
Quarter till.
Okay.
Or there.
Well, I want to give you time for questions, so this is my wrap-up here. I got to go back to the Graceland Reunion. We discussed this at the Graceland Reunion. We're going to put it into practice. Well, Nathan and I were driving home on Saturday from Lamoni, and I got an email on my phone, so don't tell the police, but I was going through my phone, and of course, I couldn't read it, so I had to hold it out here. Got an email on my phone from Bill Kidd and John Davies. I don't know if you know them. Well, they attend South Crystal Restoration Branch, and I vaguely knew Bill, and I knew the name John Davies, and I now know that he plays the organ for a lot of times at the auditorium. Didn't really know him by sight, just knew him by name. Well, John Davies and Bill Kidd wrote an email to me that Saturday morning, the day after we discussed this in the Quorum of High Priests, and their email was this: "We felt led to write this email to you," and it was addressed to Chuck Perry, president of a Quorum of High Priests. They didn't say the Quorum, but a Quorum of High Priests. They acknowledged us as a Quorum of High Priests and said, "We believe that the Lord is calling the church to fasting and repentance. And we, for 3 years now, or 4 years, have believed that the Lord is asking the saints to come together in fasting. And we don't believe that we can call that, but maybe you as the high priests, or as some high priests, can call the saints to fasting and prayer." So as I'm scrolling down, driving down the road, scrolling down this, trying to read this, do you think my heart leapt with joy? "In the mouths of two or three witnesses shall all things be established." I met with John and Bill a week or two later, and they bore witness that it is time. It is time to lay down our weapons of warfare, come together as the body of Christ, and complete the divine task. And I got to tell you one other thing, that as we met in Quorum the day before I got this email from Bill and John, Brother Alan Smith bore testimony that his son attends South Chrysler. Alan attended the South Chrysler Restoration Branch up at Lamona, which I think was the week or two prior to the 70 missionary reunion. You know, they live up there, so they're going to catch all the reunions they can. Alan's testimony was that there was a gift given, or a thus saith the Spirit given to one of the brethren from South Chrysler, and the thus saith the Spirit essentially said, "You have a higher calling and a greater work, a further work to do in my work, in my kingdom." Well, Alan says, "I know what that work is. I bear witness that this man has a calling to a general church office." And so he wrote an email to this young man, or to this man, and said, "Brother, I confirm that that gift is true, that you do have a further calling, and here's what I believe it means." Well, how's that going to come to pass? South Chrysler doesn't support other callings. Alan's son attends South Chrysler, and that week they had a prayer service or priesthood function, and Alan's son bears this testimony. There was a softening among some of the hearts at South Chrysler because this man bore witness that I'd received this email from Alan Smith. I felt the confirming testimony. Saints, is the Lord moving among his people? There was a hard line drawn in the sand, and some still have that line, but others are saying maybe we need to erase that line in the sand. My testimony is this: the Lord is moving among many, 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 I don't want to use the word factions, groups, compartments of the church. Patrick and Jim McKay are dealing with the Bickertonites. They are supportive of coming together in prayer and fasting. Roger Gault, Brad Gault, Mark Dietrich, and somebody else I forget have been meeting kind of in an ad hoc meeting with some of the men from the Remnant Church. They're saying, "We want to participate in this." They invited Roger to go speak. Roger met with like 20 members of the Remnant Church, and they said, "Give us copies of this. We want to distribute this. How can we participate?" Saints, this isn't us. This is the Holy Spirit paving the way for reconciliation, unity, binding us together, breaking our hearts and our spirits. My testimony is this: if the Lord's people will spend 40 days searching their hearts, asking the Lord to show us wherein we have failed, asking brothers and sisters to forgive one another, recognizing we have some organizational differences, but we have spiritual unity together. If we will do this, if nothing else happens, but that brothers and sisters can meet each other on the street and embrace each other and say, sister, how are you? Brother, it's good to see you. What's going on in your branch? Then it's been a wonderful thing. My testimony is this may be the beginning for us to prepare ourselves to receive the revelation that the Lord has for us. And I bear testimony that there is a revelation to come, that the Lord is going to complete his great, strange act of building up his kingdom. And I believe and bear testimony today that that is much closer than many of us realize. I could go on and I could go on, but the question is now, what can I answer for you? Do you have questions? Do you have concerns? And I want to make this clear. In the introduction letter from the high priests, we recognize that there are some who will not accept what Brother Carey has brought as being the word of the Lord. That's okay. If there are those in the church that don't accept it, if there are those in this room that don't accept it, that's okay. Come together with us in prayer and fasting. That's the key. If we can bow the knee and hold hands and ask the Lord to bless us, the Lord will bless us. Do you have questions, saints?
Brother Chuck?
Yes.
You might want to finish the Garland Snack
testimony, yes. Okay, so Garland Snack gets the email and deletes it. That same day, Brother Bill Kidd says, Garland calls him up, Garland, I need to go on an administration. Will you go with me? Sure, happy to go with you. What does Brother Bill Kidd take with him? He takes this with him. He says, now, Garland, I want you to read this, and I want you to pray about it. Don't just throw it away, but ask the Lord if the Spirit bears witness of its truth. Garland read it, and he was convicted. And he sent out an email that said at the very top, do not delete. Read this, pray about it, and ask the Lord if... And his terminology was, if this humble request from the high priests has merit. Now, saints, I don't know if you're aware of what that means. That was the parting of the Red Sea, in my opinion. Because there are many, many people who... Oh, joint conference, they're going to rip it up. Garland said, please don't delete it. At least pray about it and read it. And I can tell you that within hours of this blast of emails going out, I got an email from a sister who said, I have believed for years that the Lord is calling the church to reconcile and pray and fast and repent. I got an email from a woman that I was in my district up in Northeast Iowa and said, are you the same Chuck Perry that went to Cedar Valley Grove, blah, 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 blah. She's a member of the Community of Christ. So she got this. This is going to saints all over the country and around the world. And if it can do one thing and to bring us to the table to talk, then it's well worth the effort. Now, questions, Sister Karen.
I just wanted to get a message.
Okay. Are there other questions?
Oh, they called us to fast particularly on Wednesday night. Have you already emphasized?
Well, no, thank you for bringing that up. So, obviously, fasting is a personal decision. Some people may want to choose to fast the entire 40 days. I probably won't do that. Okay. I don't recommend that for most people. But what we're asking is, if you are physically able to fast the evening meal, because on Wednesday evening, why? Because we're already going to church for prayer service, right? There are going to be some joint district prayer services scheduled. We're in the process of just beginning to find out if we want to have some type of large joint services in the center place to include everybody who wants to come. But in your own individual branches and in your families, if you could fast the Wednesday evening meal before you come to prayer service, we're encouraging to do that. Again, it's a personal thing. Let your physical needs dictate, and it's your own personal communication and relationship with God. But by doing that together, then we are all dedicated and committed on one page for just a few short hours. And in that period of fasting, focus your thoughts on what we've asked you to focus on. Thanksgiving, repentance, reconciliation. And then the third period, I don't think I mentioned, was consecration and preparation for whatever the Lord is going to do to bring to pass his wonderful act. Does that answer your question, or does that expand on that? Are there other Yes.
If the first step is to approach God in this through reconciliation, is that just with people we've offended in the church, or do we try to go find everybody we've ever offended?
I can tell you what the law says. If you have aught with your brother, leave your gift at the altar and first reconcile. So that means if you have aught with a neighbor, a coworker, a family member, then... And you know, I can't force Brother Bates to reconcile with me, but I can go to him and ask him, and I can do what I'm required to do. Okay? If I've done everything I can do and Brother Bates refuses to reconcile, then that's on him. Okay, so what the Lord is asking us to do, you make your effort to be clean. And then come to the altar and I will bless you. Does that answer? And saints, if we do that, I call it a success. If one or two relationships are healed, then this whole thing is worth it. I think there's far more in the blessing basket that's going to be dumped over. But if nothing else happens but that, then I think it's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for the saints.
What if you don't know if you offended someone? Is that counted against you?
Well, you know, we're told that our righteousness is as filthy rags. We don't even begin to understand how we sin. Well, how do we deal with that? Lord, I don't know what I've done to offend others or to offend you. Please show me, and if I've missed something, then please forgive me for the things I don't even know that I've done. So I think we know when we've offended many people, but if we haven't, then guess what? There's something called grace, and the Lord's blood covers us if we allow Him to do that and ask Him to do that. So where we don't know, we ask the Lord to heal us and cover us, and He will do that. Brother David, did you have a question?
I was going to just add the same thing, that just ask God mm-hmm. to reveal that to you and to reveal to the other person that they should come to you if they are offended, that they should come to you and confront you or whatever method they want to choose.
Let's not say confront. but yes, to come and bring that before us and get it healed. That's what needs to happen. Was there a hand over here somewhere? Yes, Brother George.
I was just going to say what David was saying, that the other side of the coin is that if someone has offended you, it's your job to go to them.
Yeah.
And if you choose not to. You know, but I said there's two parts to this. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so important, because quite often the church teaches reconciliation, that if someone is offended you, it's your job to go to them, because they may not know that they have been, that they've offended someone.
And I want to capitalize on what he just said, that if they will not reconcile, what is your duty, saints?
Forgive.
To forgive and to lay it down. We're not very good at laying things down. Alan Smith bore another testimony at the quorum meeting at Graceland. I think this is a wonderful testimony. He said he went to someone's house, a member of the church, and this man brought out a file box, and he said, these are all the things that I've kept a file of injuries that people have done to harm me. And he said, you know, I've let all these things go. And Alan said, brother, burn the box. I've got a list of things that people have done to hurt me and offend me, and I don't hold a grudge anymore, but once in a while I go through that and remind myself. And he said, brother, it's time to burn the box. Isn't that a wonderful testimony? Burn the box, saints. Let it go. Brother Clarence.
I think if we start this, we need to be obedient. I heard a testimony from Joe Lieberman. Most of you know Joe Lieberman, a senator mm-hmm. in our Senate. And he bore testimony that they keep the Sabbath, him and his wife. But there is occasions, he said, when we had to break that, right, when was the inauguration, I think. And I don't know if you heard it. But I think that was a good point to me. If I put my hand in the hand of Christ, that I will be obedient to what I promised. Now, I might not promise different than Harvey here, but we'll keep that promise that we make with our Heavenly Father.
And I think it's appropriate that the very first scripture that was listed in our 40-day list of scriptures included keeping the Sabbath holy.
Yeah.
because it's a day. And he says that if we do this, verily this is fasting and prayer, or in other words, rejoicing in prayer, that thy fasting may be perfect, that our joy may be full. So, good point. We need to really focus our thoughts on asking the Lord to help us walk the path He's asked us to walk. Are there other questions? It's kind of a rare thing. The saints don't have much to say. So, Dan.
There's a lot going to be going on in this 40 days, and I'm sure the high priest will keep us informed, and we will try to keep the body as informed mm-hmm. as possible, because this is an active living thing, and it does change rapidly, so we'll try to keep the body as informed as possible.
And I really haven't made a lot of comments about it, but what our intent is, I've asked three or four of the high priests to put together, you know, they're kind of a quote planning committee. You hate to be real bureaucratic, but a planning committee to see what the possibility is of having some larger joint services. And I can assure you, I can tell you that there are significant, I don't want to say leaders, but people who are involved in other organizations who are saying, we want to participate, and we intend, if possible, to have a service where we have priesthood members from other organizations that are going to assist in the planning and in the administration of a service or services. And my recommendation is, in order to make sure we don't have any stumbling blocks, I am Elder Chuck Perry, and Nathan would be Elder Nathan Shearer, and so forth, so that there's no, well, I don't accept him as a high priest, or I don't accept him as an apostle. Those monikers are going to be taken aside. If they are brothers and sisters, I think we can safely say that apostle so-and-so is an elder in the Lord's church, and we're going to try to do that. So there's nothing that causes would be a stumbling block for anyone. So we will. That's just in the very beginning stages. And actually, the three brothers that put this together, their intent was, let's let the Holy Spirit work. So we're not really drawing, you know, digging our stakes too deeply in what we're going to do yet on this 40 days, because we want to see if some true reconciliation and healing begins. If that's the case, wouldn't it be marvelous to have 500 saints from a number of different groups meet together in prayer, song, worship, and praise, and fellowship? Keep that in your prayers. Saints, my testimony is this. The Lord is ready to move among a people who are committed and devoted to Him and to each other. Are we going to be that people? If we are, it's time for us to really take what the Lord has asked us to do and move forward. Let's put Egypt behind us, okay? Thank you.